Today on Supernormalize, we talk with VC Pitt, a lady who had a very successful business and was under a lot of stress of life, manifested a cancer diagnosis, and then worked through that with modern medicine and then plant medicine. And it changed her whole life in a new and exciting way, which enabled her to embrace more authenticity and self-understanding such that she actually helps people find their way to a greater love of self. This is a great story, and I'm sure you'll enjoy, so on with the show. Welcome to Supernormalized, VC Pitt. VC, you're a survivor. You've been through the ringer, I would say, with so many big challenges in life. You'd have, like, you had success and in all the usual terms of success, and then that changed dramatically with a health diagnosis that just blew your world apart. And then you found a way through that to, like, a point of recovery of yourself and your self-worth and your understanding of where you are and your path in life. I'm eager to hear this story, so welcome to Supernormalize.
Thank you, CJ. It's an honor to be here. I believe we all have our challenges to overcome, and I definitely have had my share, but I'm here to tell the tale.
Yes. Where would you like to start?
Well, I had a medical billing and coding business, and it was very successful. I had people working with me. The rug got pulled from me. Back in 2017, I had a fall. I had been married at almost 25 years at this point. And this fall, I landed face first on tile flooring after being dehydrated, and my world changed after that. And I went to specialists, nothing out of the normal other than just dehydration and that kind of thing. But I began sleeping less and less. And then it was like something, I just was distant from my husband. And I connected with someone involved with my business that was totally unexpected. And he was my twin flame, which is more than a soulmate. So I divorced after 25 years and pretty much started over. I had my business, and then the stress and everything else, I didn't keep up with my health. And I went for my mammogram. I didn't want to, but I went, and I found out it had been almost 5 years since I'd had a mammogram. And through that, I was diagnosed with invasive ductal carcinoma, and it was highly aggressive. The cells were poorly differentiated. It was stage 2A clinical and B pathological. And I had a lumpectomy, part radiation, so they inserted something called a Savvy catheter into my breast, and I had twice a day radiation for 5 days, 10 sessions. And through that, I found out that most everything, even though it was considered allowed, most of it went to deductible and my responsibility. So after it all was said and done, I ended up $500 in debt, and I thought my world was over. I thought it was over. The financial success I had, it was over. And my spirituality through all of this, so this started in 2017, kicked up in 2018, and the cancer was diagnosed in at the end of 2021. Treatment was completed in 2022. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I have stepped back from the business portion of my medical billing business, and I'm still self-employed, so it pays the bills. But I had to figure out a way to come out of this. And I had already really become very spiritual. I am considered a spiritual high priestess. And so this path that I am on is about, through unconditional love, helping others. So much is coming with New Earth and all the things out there that I still learn about. And so part of my purpose is to help others. I've learned how to send Reiki healing without formal training. And so I have currently started doing beginning spirituality videos to help people. And it talks about everything from megahertz frequencies just to general topics like unconditional love.
How did you discover that you're a spiritual high priestess? I'm curious to know how that happened.
Well, it's been the last few years. Part of it, I started using a lot of spiritual modalities. I read tarot and oracle cards. I use pendulum dowsing. I use crystals very much in my everyday practice. And so these are things that go into it. But also I'm a divine feminine who's empathic, a twin flame healer. So that's part of my path. So it's not that I know every single thing out there because I still learn, but that is the path that I am on through plant medicine that I have done. And I've done 9 ayahuasca journeys over 2 years, and I've done 9 psilocybin mushroom journeys in the last year. And so I receive messages because parts of the brain are activated with those journeys, and I receive messages. I have started doing some channeling. So I receive messages, and part of the messages I've received is I am love, I am divine, I am pure. And these are things that people who, like I said, don't connect with religion, they're questioning those beliefs. The spiritual path may be what they're supposed to be on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just curious though, how did you come to the plant medicine path? Because it seems like it attracts more people that have been involved in psychedelics or something like that?
For me, I never did any kind of plant medicine until I was an adult.
Yeah.
Dabbled with THC for a few years, then became a mother, and that all went away. And 20 years later, I picked it back up. Well, along the way, my twin flame had mentioned the word ayahuasca. I didn't even know how to spell it. I had to look it up. And through all of this, and this was right before the cancer diagnosis, I found a place in Orlando, Florida that has since closed. And it was outside of my comfort zone, but I had done traditional therapy and that had not helped me because of the deep wounds that I have. I have childhood abandonment, rejection, and self-worth issues. And so because traditional therapy hadn't helped me, I was looking for something that could get me on the path to healing, to true healing. And so that's how I ended up at ayahuasca. Mm. And that was in June of 2021. So I did a nighttime ceremony and then the next day a daytime ceremony. And it was a sacred feminine ceremony, so only women were in attendance. And so I was scared. It was totally outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. It can be scary for sure.
Yes, and it's horrible tasting. There's no way you will get addicted to it. There is. I mean, I've tried to think, how do you describe it? And dirt is not an equal one, but it is the most hard thing I've ever tasted. So I'm being truthful.
Oh, I know. Don't worry.
And so the first ceremony, because a lot of us had never done anything like that in our lives. And there were about 50 of us there that first journey. And there were some that couldn't complete it the next day. And if I hadn't done some healing, I may not have made it the next day. It opens up those wounds. And for me, the nighttime journey, that very first one, I didn't know what was going to happen. And it took about 2 hours for it to take its effect on me. And I was catapulted into the universe. I saw colors that didn't have a name. I was going through the universe and I felt so part of something. I saw a lot of Catholic and religious symbols, and I myself personally don't have connection to that. And so I was trying to figure out what all of it meant. And I mean, when you do that, it's almost like an energizer for me. And I'm usually one of the last participants standing when it's all said and done. I love doing it. And yeah. It's not something that I want to do all the time. And so at that point, the next day, you know, you're very relaxed and, you know, they tell you the daytime ceremony will be a little different. Well, I know this sounds crazy, but I was underneath the tree of life. I was in the Garden of Eden. And me not being religious and not reading a lot of the Bible, and I had the vision of me being upside down on a cross and being told all was forgiven. And I had no idea that that was how Peter was crucified.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's a coincidence either. So because I had been through a whole lot, through the divorce, through the loss of the separation of my twin flame. And so I went through a period of a lot of things that probably I shouldn't have been involved with. And so this truly started my healing path. And I found myself, you know, really wanting to dig deeper. And during these subsequent journeys that I did with ayahuasca, I have seen God's energy and I have been connected with Jesus and I have seen what I believe will be in the afterlife. I have seen Incan, Mayan, these kind of symbols that's not what they are. I don't have a way to describe them other than they're similar to that.
Right.
So it's, for me, it opened my eyes. I used to be very judgmental about people that did things like that, especially marijuana. And then I took the bull by the horns, as we say, and went for it. And so last year, a friend of mine had been doing a lot of mushroom journeys, and I was curious about them. So in October of last year, I started those journeys. And I've done 10, and there is microdose, there's social dose, and there's larger doses. So for me, I saw it was more like a more gentle journey of ayahuasca and mushroom journeys. They are like masculine and feminine energies with those. And so ayahuasca has more of a feminine energy to it. So some of these journeys, like I said, I've seen more or less. One journey, I saw Zeus in that journey. And it's like a very complicated web of design. You are connected to all things. And so one of the last journeys I did, actually, I had been down, and it takes a lot when these journeys are done. My body, it goes through a lot. This is not something to undertake lightly. So the last journey that I one of the last journeys I undertook, I was sitting on my chair and I had my eyes closed. I was relaxing but not asleep. And all of a sudden, I saw Jesus. He looked just like the Shroud of Turin and he was olive-skinned and he was smiling and he hugged me. Because that journey, I had done a lot of healing work on the planet. I saw our earth on fire. And so I had never had a journey like that. And so I knew what I did made a difference. I've seen Jesus with Mary Magdalene. And there's a lot of things that religious people would disagree with me on, but these are my experiences. And I am closer to God through these experiences than any church I've ever attended.
Would you say that the way the experiences unfolded, I know from my experiences in the past, those places are real, right?
Yes,
and,
they are.
And the beings you meet are real. And when you are joined with them in those spaces, the things that they're communicating to you are absolutely real. And in all of that, that changed me permanently. Now, did you find that happened for you too?
I am a totally different person than I ever was before. The crazy part about it is I am more like I was in my late teens and early 20s, smarter, but but my inner child has emerged again, and I try to handle everything through unconditional love. And that is part of my journey.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. It's changed me to allow me to be my true and authentic self.
Yeah, I felt that's for me in the past. This is what happened for me too. I found my more authentic self. And what I would say, it helped me to edit my way in being so that I was being more honest in everything. You know, when I got down to it, even the point of like, do you really need to scratch yourself right now? You know, or is that just a little bit of anxiety? You know what I mean?
Well, and for me, one of the last ones, I was like, do I really need food or water? It was, I mean, I wanted something different. Yes. But I believe our future with the things coming, things are going to be totally different when New Earth arrives than what we've had. And we have to do things different than what we've done in the past.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I feel there is a big change coming and it'll be surprising and interesting. Now, you said that when you were in one of those spaces, it felt like you're in the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life was above you. I've been to that place too, and it's wild, beautiful, and everything is happening at once. So, yeah, that when you said that before, it just gave me mixed validation. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember how that was, you know. So,
well, we tend to forget. You bring out those most important things, and I'm terrible about journaling, but I tend to use my cell phone to make those notes when I come out of it. Yeah. And I'll tell you another crazy thing that happened. When I was on that first daytime journey, I had been involved with an ex-priest at that time. And he knew I was there. He was worried about me going, but he knew that I had to do this. This was something I had to do. And me not knowing any better and them not saying, don't bring your cell phone. Well, I had my cell phone in the sacred journey. And towards the end of it, started texting and the words started disappearing on the screen. I tried again. Words were there and they backspaced on their own. So,
yes, that's in there.
Yes, there was. And
I know.
I mean, I had my hand off the keyboard and that happened. So,
yeah.
But these journeys, people are struggling with healing. And my wounding is self-worth and rejection and abandonment. And for me, I couldn't love myself. I always loved people more than it was reciprocated.
Yes.
And through this, I have come to love and accept myself. You know, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But the love within, it's part of me. And I am here to share my unconditional love and my gifts with others.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Would you say it's for everyone?
It's up to the individual. I do not think some would be receptive of it, open to the possibilities. There are skeptics out there, and I'll never change their mind.
True.
But if somebody wants to know the experiences, I am more than glad to share them because they may find something through it that was unexpected and healing.
Mm. Has doing this work opened you up to a greater spirituality and connection with spirits as well?
Yes, I am so connected to God. Most people think you have to go through a man to get to God through Jesus, and I love Jesus. However, I know myself, I've had conversations with God when there was once back in 2023, and all of a sudden, something happened, and I was drinking a lot at that time. I'm not an alcoholic, but I was numbing out. Didn't realize that's what I was doing. And during my morning walk, I was walking, and I said, "Why does all of this keep happening to me?" And the words "numbing out" dropped into my head. I know that was from divine. And so for me, I put alcohol away not long thereafter, and I don't think I'll ever drink again. It's been over 2 years. And so when you're in such pain, you try to escape things. And that's what I did for a long time. I felt very lost through life. And when after I had cancer, I went and did ayahuasca. I think it was a month after I came out of the last treatment. And for me, I don't think I could have done it had I not done some of the physical and emotional healing at that point. So people that channel or are clairaudient may receive messages during those sessions. For me, I don't see any of my ancestors. I went wanting to see my mother and my grandparents, and I have not ever connected with any of them. Mine is usually bigger and connected to symbolism, and I don't know what those symbols are. And I wish I had more answers on that.
Well, I would say that sometimes you don't need to know the symbols. They still have effect.
I still see them.
Mm.
Because my cousin passed of lung cancer, I actually put my THC vape pen down, and now I only do gummies, and I don't find that I receive as much as I did. However, I still do see things, and so I meditate more. And this week, I had questioned something if I was to follow after someone that's in my spiritual soul group, and I saw the message right here through the side, and it said follow. And I checked my pendulum and my cards, and this was about following Jesus, not being a follower of anyone other than the thing is, there's so much about Jesus. I can ruffle some feathers with some of the things that I believe, and I don't know if others are ready to hear it or not, but when Jesus said, follow me, I don't believe he was talking about worshiping him. I believe it's our inner Christos within, and he is wanting us to follow in his path and be loving and kind and treat every situation that way. You do have to have boundaries if people are taking advantage of you. But for me, that's what this is about. And I don't think that Jesus would have appeared to me if I was doing something wrong.
Right. Yeah. That depends, because, I mean, I did actually interview a little while back an ayahuasquero. He was a guy that was really well known in the scene in the US and Costa Rica. And he got to a point where he was doing his work, and just before he was about to go to his next big retreat session where he was treating people for a month or so in Costa Rica, Jesus turned up at his place in his room one morning and said, stop.
Really?
Yes. So it was like everyone gets the messages they need to get. And so he was told to stop, and he went and checked in on himself. He's like, is that me being crazy? And checked in with his other practitioners, and they said, no, that's an authentic message. And so he's agreed to stop. So he stopped. I'm going to interview him again, because it was such a wild story.
Well, I'm just giving you my experience. And I believe, because I've got all the Claire gifts except the gift of touch, meaning picking up an object. And so for me, this is, I'm sending distance Reiki to people. Another podcaster wanted me to check his chakras, and he was closed mostly. And so we did something online, and I opened up his chakras, and he felt my energy 1,500 miles away. And nice. I have recently, I've been able to clear negative energies from spaces. So, you know, I believe these gifts are given to me through God, through Jesus. And I believe that, you know, that is part of the high priestess path. And so for me, that is what I want. My desire, my biggest desire, is to help others through their journeys, learn what I can, and be open and receptive to what God wants me to do.
Yeah. I've got to ask you a question. In a world of spiritual bypassing, How would you approach teaching unconditional love while maintaining healthy boundaries?
Well, what you do a lot of meditation. I go within, do a lot of prayer, and you meet people where they are. And what I used to try to do was try to gear them to see my way. I don't do that anymore. You love them, and you have to meet them that way. When things happen, and I had a situation with family happen just a couple of months ago. I had my rose-colored glasses removed, and I saw, well, it's true. And and so for me, giving unconditional love, that's what I know to do. And through this journey, I thought everyone loved like I did, and then I realized that they didn't. So Divine Feminine, we are here to give that love. It's a balance of energies between the masculine and feminine. And so I used to be heavily in my masculine energy, and in today's world, women think they have to meet men exactly where they are. And also, just to note, Divine Feminine and Masculine energies are not gender-based. So it's logic versus intuition. And I now have my softer edge that has returned. And so, you know, I work mostly now from home. And so I'm able to protect my energy while pushing out. I actually use my crystals and push out unconditional love. And I've been told that by me doing that, that I have changed timelines through that. So for me, there's no other way but unconditional love. And with everything that will be coming in the near future, again, I believe New Earth is almost here. And through that, we are going to be called as the collective to teach others how to love unconditionally. Because not everyone's going to be awake. They are going to need us to help understand some of the things that are going on.
Yeah. What are some practical techniques for releasing emotional pain and deep-seated grief that people can apply in their own lives?
Well, for me, I used to think it was a weakness to cry. Not everybody would agree with that, but releasing pain is one of the biggest things that can be, for me, prayer and meditation goes a long way. But the big thing is to just let go and let God come into your heart to help you.
Okay. Now, you've written two books, My Twin Flame, Journey of Separation, Surrender, and Release, and Healing Sacred Wounds While Reclaiming My Power. What inspired you to, do you want to hold them up?
Well, actually, I do have them. This is the first one. This one was released 3 years ago, and then this one was just released in August.
Nice.
So for me, I never saw myself as an author. I never made good grades in English, but the further I went into my journey, this was divinely guided. Think of it as people learning about spiritual modalities that they didn't know anything about. So I am a twin flame, and so much of the media has romanticized this idea, and that is not what it's about. It is about healing those wounds. And it's childhood wounding, adult traumas, and they are a catalyst for our spiritual growth. And so it's not a journey for the weak. I mean, there's times that I didn't think I was going to make it through. So these books are to help others understand that, but also understand how healing can happen through unconditional love. And this journey is also about us loving ourselves. And so many people don't. So with doing the different practices, the cards and pendulum and that kind of thing, crystals, I've also done past life regression, Akashic record readings. And right now, I am trying to start my path towards opening up Akashic records. I think it's going to take time. And my focus really, too, is doing beginning spirituality videos. And it varies. The topics vary. And I mean, it's things like unconditional love that I talk about, but also frequency and vibration, meditation, that kind of thing. Things that people don't necessarily think about. There's so many of us light workers, star seeds are out there. And as they become awakened and the transition happens, we are going to have to help humanity through it.
Yes. Yeah. It feels like for a long time now, we're all being warmed up to the idea of being midwives for the new consciousness.
Yes.
Can you explain the concept of karmic patterns and generational trauma and how they can be cleared for personal healing and spiritual growth?
Well, the karmic ties we have, I look at it before we incarnate, that we get at a big conference table on the other side, and we sit down with various people that we are going to come in contact with throughout our lives. So these lessons, basically, if you don't successfully graduate from a lesson, it's going to continue to come up. You are going to stay on what I call the karmic wheel, which is like a hamster wheel, until you do something different. So for me, this has been about taking these lessons. And once I see a pattern emerge and repeat, I basically am like, what is this trying to teach me? What do I need to do differently to not have to do this anymore? And once I started understanding this about 4 years ago, that is what I do when these lessons come up and repeat. So for me and others, they have got to break those karmic patterns that continue to emerge.
How can they be cleared for personal healing and spiritual growth?
Well, okay. And so once you do that and you successfully graduate, you can move on to other lessons that you're here for, but also the generational curses part. So for example, I didn't consider this fully, and I'd never even heard generational curses, that term. So I started looking back in my own family's history. So my great-grandfather and grandfather had a falling out back in the 90s. They didn't speak for a few years. Well, also, my mother, when she divorced my mother and grandfather became estranged. He looked at it, she was abandoning us. He didn't know that she was being abused by my father, and she couldn't tell him because he probably would have done harm to my father. And so my father and her, grandfather and her, didn't speak for 5 years. Then the curse bounced down to her line. So her brother and her didn't speak for a few years, and they had disagreements. I saw both sides to the argument. And then my brother and I, because he's addicted to drugs and he's done a lot of things, and he's a boundary I had to put up, I had to establish. I cannot be around him any longer. And so that has passed down. And then when I divorced my ex-husband, my oldest son hasn't spoken to me since 2019. And so it's a karmic line of generational curse. So part of why I've done plant medicine is to hopefully break this curse to where this no longer impacts more of my family.
Yeah, right. So that is still going on for you. Do you have any tips on how to break it, or are you still learning?
Well, for me, going to the mat and doing plant medicine, that has been the biggest thing. I couldn't forgive my father. My father, even though I didn't experience the physical and mental abuse, I went into my own emotional hell with it, and I had to forgive him. And I thought I had forgiven, but the part I hadn't done was release the pain. And the last journey that I did with ayahuasca, I actually asked God to release him from life review, which is where we go when we leave this earth, and we have to answer for the things that we've done in this lifetime. And he had been in life review for 3 years after his death, and he had wanted me to forgive him. And like I said, I thought I had. I went through a 3-month period of forgiveness with him, but I hadn't released that pain. Once I released it, it allowed me to have peace in my heart towards him. So that's another reason that plant medicine was vital for me, because it did help break that generational curse. Yeah. And this is something I still do not know if my son is going to come back into my life, but I'm also at peace. And whatever is supposed to happen per my soul contract will.
Yeah, yeah. The stories have to play out the way they're supposed to play out, so we all learn.
Yes. A lot of people think they don't realize that we're here in various storylines. And I'm sorry, my dog's walking up next to me.
I was going
to
say, I can hear those toenails. Little
clackety-clack. But anyway, you know, once you can understand and look at it, step outside of the box, and you look at things as, what is this trying to teach me? What do I need to do differently? If you will look at it that way, that will help you to be able to graduate and move forward.
How does practicing unconditional love differ from toxic positivity? And what are some ways to distinguish between the two?
Well, for me, I have no toxicity in my life. I have stepped away. With me working at home, I am able to not be in the workplace and deal with toxicity that is so much in that. So for me, it has been about accepting people and understanding that they are not going to do everything just like you. And once you can understand that and open your heart fully to love, let your heart chakra be open, that the toxic positivity, I can't be a part of. I basically walk the other way. I am not going to be a part of any of that. And it's up to each person to decide whether or not they are going to be staying in that. In the future, it is going to be about unconditional love. We're going to be breaking down these barriers. A lot of people think we're going into two realities. And at one time, I would have thought, that sounds crazy, but not so much anymore. It really doesn't.
I don't know. Once you've been across the other side a few times, it's like everything's possible.
The longer I'm here, I see things that give me direction and purpose. But you do. If you're in toxic patterns with people, you're going to stay there unless you do different, especially with narcissists. Yeah. They come in and out, and they love bomb you, then ghost you, and then, you know, do all the things that are hurtful. And when you're in victim mentality, you know, that can really impact you as well. So move away from toxicity. You're not here for that.
How does healthy boundaries play a role in that moving away?
Well, you have to love yourself, and you have to say, I am not doing this anymore. And it's, I imagine like an invisible shield. When someone hurts me, and I've lost a lot of people along this journey, my pool of people are getting smaller and smaller.
That's just what happens.
Yes. And so for me, what I've learned, people that are growing closer to spirituality, they are going through the same things. So you have to establish boundaries. Basically for me, and not everyone would agree, but I totally step away. I eliminate them because I am not having anyone interrupt my peace ever again.
What advice would you give for somebody to find their way?
Well, it takes a while, and then you're afraid in the beginning to speak to others, to say, for me, the religious path is not my path, because here in the South, in the U.S., there's the big Bible Belt, and so people that are, they may not be sleeping well. They may be waking up between 2 and 4 a.m., and just knowing something is different inside of them. So for me, what I recommend is going within, meditating, going within. That was something I didn't initially do, but there's different frequencies. 432 is a healing frequency. Listen to that. It's on YouTube, all kinds of videos on there. So also try to connect. There may be others. You can kind of dabble the language out there and just see if there's others like you, feeling like you are, because more and more are waking up and they're trying to find that path. But also, plant medicine, I believe that accelerates everything. It accentuated my spiritual gifts, the clair gifts. I believe there's baby steps, but some people go into a full awakening. Those are the biggest beginning pieces, I would say. I had even talked to, I went to a Catholic priest because I was trying to figure out early on in 2018 what was going on, because I started seeing signs and synchronicities through angel numbers. It's the word discernment. I had never even heard that word. And so I started trying to discern what was real, what path I needed to go through. I also recommend, if you're open to psychics and mediums, they can give you guidance as well. And the biggest thing is to be fully open. Not everyone is going to be, but those are some things that I recommend.
VC, we've come to the end of the podcast. How can people find your books and you?
Well, on Amazon, both books are listed there under VC Pitt. And then on my Facebook page, I have an author page, VC Pitt, and I am doing quite a few videos. I have more and more topics to talk about. And I am VC Pitt 1 on Instagram, and my website is healingsacredwounds.com. And there's some free resources that I felt my higher self guided me to do.
Thank you so much for sharing all that you've shared today. I'll provide links down below in the show notes to your website, and people can find your books through there too. And I thank you very much for everything.
CJ, it has been an honor. I've been looking forward to this. So nice. I do appreciate you having me on today.
Excellent. All right. I'll just say goodbye to the listeners.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I didn't expect VC to tell me so much about her plant medicine journey, but I'm really glad she did. It's amazing what some people go through and how they find their way to a path of greater self-understanding. If you've enjoyed today's show, remember to like and subscribe. And if you really like the show and you've made it this far, you may enjoy this episode, which is about the ayahuasquero that found Jesus randomly. Jesus turns up in his room and changes his life completely. Otherwise, there's this whole playlist of episodes all related to plant medicine and how people have found their way through them as well. So thank you very much for listening. Until next episode, it's bye for now.